Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, BPJ, share number 148. That's Bais Panimi, joint share number 148. We're in the book, The 13 Things Mentally Strong Couples Don't Do. We're up to the third item. And the third one is that they don't hesitate to set boundaries. These boundaries have to do with boundaries between themselves, but also boundaries with how they react to other people. So, for example, there was a survey that said that 34% of couples disagree on the rules and boundaries they should set with their extended family or in the way they share things about their own spouses with others. Very often, there's confusion about these boundaries that are blurred. Like, for example, if you believe, you sometimes say, I struggle to recognize how my spouse wants to be treated. Or sometimes I try to guess what my spouse wants because they don't tell me directly. But instead of asking directly for something, I complain in the hopes of them getting the hint. Or I don't like how my spouse treats me sometimes and I don't speak up about it. Or I don't share my opinions very often with them. For whatever reason, they won't listen or they will contradict me. Or I have trouble saying no to things that my spouse asks for me when I really should be saying no. Or I feel overly responsible for my spouse's emotions. So all of these things, what we just mentioned here, if these statements sound familiar, that's a sign that there's room for improvement to establish boundaries within your relationship. So like we just mentioned, if you disagree on how involved extended family should be in your lives. Or if you complain about people who infringe on your own personal relationship or meddle into your marriage. Or that how a spouse's friend or friends could take a toll on their husband-wife relationship. You have that sometimes. There's an over-enmeshment with friends. So there needs to be a boundary there in order to sustain the healthy relationship between a husband and a wife. This doesn't mean you're over-controlling and not allow your spouse to have friends. It just means that if there's no boundaries there, it will create friction. Or you feel that your spouse is sharing too much information about your relationship with family or friends. So you need a boundary there. And you disagree on how much information should be spread. Or you have trouble finding opportunities to talk to your spouse privately. Then you need that boundary and focus on it to get to the point where you could actually communicate with each other. So this is one of the things that we really have to have separate shiurim on. But the boundaries go all the way. The physical boundaries is very simple also of that obviously in the nida period, there's a physical boundary that's halacha. But even in the nida period, for example, if a spouse doesn't want the door shut when they're getting undressed or they lock the door, if they have a combination thing, the other spouse knocks on the door before coming in, if that's what they need. Financial boundaries, you know, how comfortable they are about spending and sharing money and so on and so forth. Sexual boundaries, also what you feel comfortable and not comfortable with. Emotional boundaries of, for example, these things, if you're a second marriage and an ex-husband, ex-wife reaches out to you, there needs to be a boundary towards not doing that and being very selective on how you have that communication. Then you can ask the questions to yourself. Are these boundaries with our own spouse, with each other, are they too rigid or are they healthy or they're too loose? The boundaries with other people outside the relationship to protect our marriage, is it too rigid or healthy or too loose? You know, if you isolate family members from your spouse's family, that's too rigid and unhealthy. If it's an ex-husband or ex-situation, then it's not, you have to be more strong with that. So all these questions need to be addressed and work on it. The reason why we hesitate to make these healthy boundaries is, for example, we're worried about what people will think, or people won't respect that boundary even when I make it and I won't know how to enforce it, or I'm afraid of abandonment, so I need to be open-ended, or I don't know what I want, or you don't have clarity yourself on the boundaries you want to make. One of the biggest things is that you want to keep the peace. You know, you have, let's say, I'll give you an example of a healthy boundary. You have a bungalow colony where usually people are loose with each other. Kids and couples walk into your your bungalow or your little summer home and back and forth with totally open boundaries, and it's affecting your marriage and your relationship and even with your kids. So you put down your foot and you make a boundary. No, you can't come only in certain times, or you knock on the door, and so on and so forth. But you want to keep the peace with the neighbors. So that's resistance to it, but you still need to do it. Or you grew up in a home that had poor boundaries. So either you'll go one way and continue to have those poor boundaries in your own marriage, in your new home that you have now, and you need to work through it. Or you go the opposite, because you had poor boundaries in your home growing up, that you're going to be actually obsessive over these boundaries to point that it is not healthy. So that balance. Or you sometimes may feel no one respects the boundaries, so I gave up with that. Or people criticize the boundaries, so I stopped setting them. So that's why these are the examples of what I just said now are some difficulties regarding setting boundaries that one needs to overcome in your own relationship also, even though you're husband and wife and you're very close, you know, and let's say you decided on each other to look at each other's phone, and that's as a shmira for each other. But you still should ask, could I have your phone? Can I look at it right now? You know, and so on and so forth. The boundaries of deciding of physical affection in public, you know, or on vacation, people are seeing it, even if people are not seeing. First of all, we're going to put aside halacha shkafic issues over there. Or they have a discussion of how much of physical affection or any to show when the kids are around. That's also a boundary. Discussing, again, if you have an ex-husband, ex-wife, and you're co-parenting issues on a regular basis, you have to set boundaries about that, and so on and so forth. If you have private therapy of what to say, you know, not ask what you talk to your therapist about, or sometimes you should share it in a healthy way, not to be overly possessive about it. So that's very important. The setting up boundaries within yourselves and also protecting your marriage from outside sources, especially if you have meddling family members that intrude upon your relationship. Because without healthy boundaries, friends may demand too much of your time at the expense of your spouse. Or your family members may want a lot of attention at the expense of your spouse. Or other people's opinion may affect your connection with your husband or wife. Or the relationship with others may cross a line that shouldn't be crossed. So here's the idea. You know, let's say your mother-in-law says things to your kids like your parents shouldn't worry so much about sugar. Yeah, so eating a little nash won't hurt anything. So sometimes you just let that go. It's not worth making a big deal about. But sometimes if it's obsessive, you have to deal with it. Or a cousin of yours say, you know, you shouldn't let your husband go on at all on these business trips because people get into trouble with that. That's a crossing of a boundary. You know, when you discuss privately with your husband or your wife about business trips, and you talk to your own private mentor about it, and how often and in what scenarios and in what places. And that's a private matter between a husband and a wife, and a cousin or an outside member shouldn't get involved in things like that. Here's an example also. Someone asks a friend of yours, husband or wife, could you loan me $500 to cover my rent? It's an unexpected expense. So generally speaking, you put your boundary on what you do and what you don't do, and you discuss it with your spouse about it. Or your child, you know, is already a little older, and the child is asking, can I sleep in your bed tonight? And you sometimes have to place a boundary. You know, or someone's going through a divorce and they ask if you could stay at your place. You have a boundary. A big boundary that's important very often is Hachnasas Archim. That as much as Hachnasas Archim is a beautiful, beautiful mitzvah, but in certain with certain people, it may be not healthy to have them in your house. And I know Big Gedolei Yisrael advised, and it surprised me initially because Hachnasas Archim is one of the greatest, greatest mitzvahs. But I know certain Gedolei Yisrael and advise this to more than a good few couples in certain scenarios, not to invite guests, even Shabbos, because your children need that individual time, especially if you have a larger family and you have many, you know, several children. And the Shabbos table attention to each child is so crucial, especially in our day and age where we're so busy. where a gadol, you talk it over, may say in your scenarios, as much as it's healthy to see the achnasas arachim, but they need their individualized attention, so you have to balance it with that. Sometimes adarabah, the reverse is true. They see a guest and achnasas arachim, and they'll learn from that and they'll emulate that. So that's a healthy thing, or a boundary, like a mixture between the two. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You could address violation of boundaries. You know, your husband and wife lend too much money to somebody. Another question is if, let's say, a husband and wife is going through fertility issues, what is to be discussed with the extended family? What not? Even one's parents. And if you decide on not saying certain things and you did say it, it's a boundary violation. Or you could ask your own Rav, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's important to, you don't always have to talk about boundary violations. Sometimes you could do it with your behavior. So for example, if your parents argue a lot and they invited you over for a Hanukkah party or just to visit with the kids on a Sunday, and you made it very, very clear, don't argue with each other in front of our kids. And let's say you were there and the argument breaks out and you're at their home. So what you do is you pack your kids up and leave. You don't have to explain. You just say, it's time for us to go. You don't have to actually verbalize everything, but that's a healthy boundary setting. So sometimes you struggle with setting boundaries. You don't want to make the other person feel bad, or they won't listen, I'll feel worse. But that's a sign that you do need to set a boundary. If, let's say, a husband smokes, okay, and well, we're not going to get into the details of that now, but right now, let's say it's just the way it is. It can't be changed at the moment. Wife at least very much says, but not in the house, you know, do it outside or whenever, or where the kid's not watching and so on. So then you do establish that boundary in your home. You know, even though they want to quit, but right now they're not able to quit. But they don't do it in the house. And that you know, needs to be respected. Sometimes your spouse has issues with boundaries, you know. Or if someone's parents has been, in-laws have been meddling for decades. So to ask to totally pull away may be too much of a step, but little by little you create those boundaries. And sometimes you may feel you're struggling with it. Sometimes both of you struggle with these healthy boundaries that need to take place. But the bottom line is these boundaries help you grow stronger. They help you grow stronger and they make you thrive as an individual. It helps you feel safe and secure in your relationships. And that's the idea. Sometimes you don't like a boundary that your husband or wife set. So you have to work through it, you know, and know when or not. You have to respect your spouse's feelings. But you know, if it's feel it's too much, you have a discussion about it. But the idea is, though, boundaries are boundaries. They're not meant to be controlling behavior. That's one of the most important yesaidas here. Healthy boundaries involve self-respect, not controlling somebody else. So if it's someone like an ex-husband or ex-wife or previous relationship type of thing, and your spouse does not want you to talk to them, that could be a very healthy boundary that should be honored. But if your spouse does not want you to talk to your own brother and sister, that's not unhealthy person, that could be a sign of abuse. That could be control. Sometimes when the emotions run high, it's difficult to maintain boundaries. As an example, you got very upset either at your own parents' house or at your in-law's house, and you tell your spouse, I never want to go and step foot in their house again. Of course, you're saying it out of emotion. The more emotion you feel, the less logical you'll feel. So you catch yourself later, and then you make a boundary that makes sense. You could apologize if you said overbold. Obviously, you're not going to forever not go to his parents or her parents, but you need to discuss that you really need to work through this. Boundaries is often not an emergency. You could create temporary boundaries until you set up a permanent one later. You could ask yourself in conversations, you know, are these boundaries healthy? How do we find the courage to set these boundaries? And so on and so forth. So this is all very, very healthy. At work, you need to set boundaries also. But people who overwork and they spend less time with the family, they need to work on that type of boundary. Boundaries regarding, let's say, kfiyas itam la'tayra, going overboard this way or going overboard neglecting it, that also needs to be discussed. So all of this is extremely important. And we should have, Mitzvah Shem, we will separate shiurim on this. But boundaries, again, are not meant to be controlling. It does not create distance. It actually creates actual, real, true closeness. Very often, it's because a husband and wife needs their own private space sometimes. As much as they are like one and they share and do everything together, in some instances, they need that private space. You know, even when they go on vacation together, even if they're going to be physically intimate often and this and that, but sometimes they need to do their own thing and read in their own time and do their own thing. So that's also a healthy boundary. And that breeds even more closeness. So don't believe that boundaries create separation. It actually could create more unity and more oneness when you have those boundaries. So then when you are together, it's really safe and good and beautiful. Bracha v'atzlacha.